Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian behind the glass. It's a Wednesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. And a busy show planned for you. You know, the Texans play tomorrow. Texans play football tomorrow.
They do, yeah.
Halloween. They play football tomorrow in New York. We'll get you ready for that. That's you. That's loud.
No, that was me talking in your computer, and then I thought it was me, and I turned my volume up.
I think mine was on first, and then yours hit. Yeah. My computer's faster than yours.
No, I thought my volume was on, carrying it.
Sick so. Brag, bro.
No, it did. There was an echo on yours. Yours was on. Yeah. It's just that mine was faster, quicker. It's like it's user.
Okay, no. What happened was yours went off, and I hit my volume button thinking, oh, I got to turn that down, and it turned it on.
Oh.
So then I had to turn it off again.
I'm a moron with a mic. You know this. D'Amico Ryan's how he's handling these injuries. I like it. A lot of receiver names have been popping up for the Houston Texans. Pick a receiver. You can only get one. Do the Texans need to keep up with the Joneses? Seems like everybody else is making moves. Garrett Blessing or Stressing, he'll be joining us later on in the show as well. And we'll get to some NFL stuff, some overreactions around the league, whether you think so or not. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. You can follow us on Twitter. He's at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. Did you see the crazy play in the World Series yesterday? I heard it because I've been listening to every pitch on ESPN 97.5. I haven't watched a single pitch. I've only been listening to every single pitch. But, of course, I saw it on Twitter. How could you miss it? Fly ball down the right field line, slicing into foul territory. Mookie Betts goes into the crowd, a story that we know too well in Houston. Makes the catch. His glove is right around the wall. Bronx Bomber fans start ripping at his glove, trying to take the ball out of his glove. Quite the scene in the Bronx yesterday, early in that game.
Yeah, first inning, really crazy. And then watching it, you think, like, in real time, the first thing I thought about was, oh, my God, Branham is going nuts right now because this is the Mookie Betts play all over again.
Sort of, yeah.
But then when you see the replay and you see these two jabronis just completely manhandle Mookie's glove and his arm and the ball and the way that they went about it, it was like, what are you thinking when you're taking a player on the field and ripping on his glove, pulling his arm up, and then ripping the ball out of his mitt? Like, that's okay?
Yeah, I was a fan of it. I like this move. How much? Look, it's 3-0. It's 3-0 in the World Series. Do you want to win the World Series or not? Do you want your team to win the World Series? Ask yourself, as an Astro fan, if there's, like, in right field in 2018 when Betts went into the crowd, the Astro fans should have been as far up as they could possibly get, hold their hand straight in the air, and build a fan wall. They should have been. That's legal. You can't break the plane. That's where the fans yesterday crossed the line. You can't break the plane. Like, anything beyond that wall into your area, that now belongs to the fans. You can't just go in there and be like, oh, this is my territory, I'm entitled to the baseball, whatever I inch it. No, you go into the crowd, that space belongs to the fans. I've always been a proponent, and like these guys said, they talked about this, which is genius. This is genius fandom, really, and I hate to give compliments to New York Yankee fan, but this is genius. This is absolutely as smart as it gets. Now, where they screwed up is they crossed the line. They crossed the wall, and they're like reaching at the glove. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that was like, you know, this brilliant idea. But they've talked about doing this. They've talked about how whenever a right fielder comes into their area, they're going to be defensive as fans, which you should do. Now, I think that you should probably just, you know, hold your hands up in the air like you just don't care and try to create this wall. I don't think they should be reaching to the glove. But at the same time, you're down 3-0 in the World Series. You do what you got to do. What?
2-0.
No, it's 3-0. They were going for the sweep. You're talking about the score in the game. Yeah, I'm talking about the series. The game. Yeah, yeah. We are both correct.
Yeah.
You've always been called brilliant. I shouldn't have doubted you. This is, yeah, I like this. And you know what happened, too? They outscored the Dodgers from that moment 11-2. So, like, people, oh, we need a lift from Judge. We need a lift from Giancarlo. We need a lift. No, you needed a lift from those bozos out of play in right field to give you a lift. They outscored the Dodgers 11-2 after that moment. If the Yankees come back from 3-0 down and win the World Series, they need to put those jabronis in Monument Park. They need to give them a bust in Monument Park in center field at Yankee Stadium. You
know, the Red Weasel said they need to get their own float in the parade if they win it.
I don't disagree. That's his best take he's ever had.
Did you see that Gronkowski is college buddies with these guys? And this guy was like talking all about him. Look, to me, I think you could already figure this out, that I have the opposite opinion in the fact that when it's one thing to say, hey, you know what? We were in our right to be in our seats and the ball came our way. Look, it happened in the Astros game this year when Trey Cabbage went into in the ninth inning on a Josh Hader pitch, went up into the stands to catch and save a home run, and because his glove was over the wall and into the fans, that he dropped it on the way out, and so it was a legitimate home run, and the fan was not at fault. In this case, when you see the replay and see the one dude that with just the hell-bent biting of the lip and everything to get to pry the glove open and then flip the ball out. And the other guy, whatever the hell he's doing to grab Mookie's wrist and try and put it back up over the wall, it's like, oh, okay, guys. Like, at a certain point, there are limitations, and whether you say player safety or just the game, interfering with the game itself, that was way too far.
I think it was about a half a foot too far. Austin Capobianco, the fan that interfered with Mookie. I thought there was more than one. I was talking to him at a local bar when a bunch of other fans asked him to take a picture with him and for his autograph. He was a beaut. Story up at ESPN. If it's in our area, we're going to D up. This is good fandom. Capobianco. We always joke about the ball in our area. We're not going to go out of our way to attack. If it's in our area, we're going to D up. Someone defends. Someone knocks the ball. We talk about it. We're willing to do this. This is good fandom.
There was two of them.
Yeah, there was two.
Because they threw the other guy out, too.
The reaching into the glove, and, like, one of the fans was reaching beyond the wall. You can't do that. Like, I'm being a little facetious here, a little tongue-in-cheek. Now, I do think that you should have a plan of attack. If you're going to sit in the front row beyond the boundary wall at a Major League Baseball game, knowing that you're entitled to that space, I firmly believe that you should go belly up to the wall, hands in the air, maybe even doing this little gesture where you're pretending like you're a college basketball fan and you're trying to, you know, force the guy shooting the free throw to miss the free throw because you're waving your arms, because if they stick their arm like Mookie Betts into the stands and you're doing this number, well, his hand's going to move and you're able to defend him catching the baseball. The fans at Minute Maid Park in 2018 should have been doing that. They shouldn't reach across the wall, but they shouldn't allow Mookie Betts to go into their territory like it happened in 2018. I blame Joe West for that, but you fellas that were in right field when Mookie Betts impeded into your territory and you allowed him, that's on you.
Yeah, they can imitate the Dodgers when they get a hit by doing that arms in the air kind of hip thrust tilt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you look at the crazy thing is I saw some people tweeting going, how can we vilify Bartman, but we can celebrate this guy in New York?
Well, result of the play.
Well, it's also the team involved. Like, it's the home team. The Cubs were screwed by their own fan in the Bartman case because he interfered with a ball that hit the home team would have caught that a lot of people believe would have led them to the World Series, a World Series win. Whereas in the case of this one and the Jeter ball against the Orioles in New York back in however long ago that was, New York fans will celebrate this all day, every day, because of the fact that they were trying to help their team. Regardless of whether they were successful or not, if they got thrown out or not, they're going to be completely, you know, putting these guys on a pedestal if they're for the home team. If you screw the home team, then you're going to get vilified like Bartman did.
Yeah, it depends on the result of the game, really. Like, how the rest of the game goes. Like, if that was a critical spot and it cost the Yankees multiple runs and then they go on and lose the game, like, those fans aren't being celebrated. They're not heroes. But if they go on to win this World Series after that, you outscored the Dodgers 11-2 after that moment. You come back from a 3-0 deficit to then win it all. Those dudes are never going to buy a drink in the Bronx ever again. They're going to be considered heroes in the Gotham City.
Yeah, you're probably right. And I mean, look, they already are. I mean, you look at how many people are you know, having drinks with these guys and celebrating these guys and putting their pictures up all over social media, and how many people like us are talking about these guys. They're already getting their claim to fame and their 15 seconds and more, and everybody that's a Yankee fan loves these dudes already. But, I mean, it's a microcosm of what we're dealing with in society today, that we take these two guys and they go across the street after getting thrown out and losing front row tickets to a World Series game, and they have the time of their lives, and now they're heroes.
If the fans did that in right field against Mookie Betts in 2018, and the home run counts, the Astros go on to win the World Series, aren't those dudes pretty much heroes in Houston?
Sure.
Yeah. It depends. They went too far. I'm being sarcastic about this slightly. You can't reach across the field. You can't be reaching into the glove and start taking the glove off. They went too far. That was a bit egregious. But I'm all for fans holding their ground when a ball goes over a boundary wall. Here was Mookie Betts talking about it after the game. And I thought Mookie Betts handled this great. I really did.
What happened with that fan, that foul ball?
It's irrelevant. We lost. It doesn't matter.
How is that man feeling? Because it kind of looked like, from our perspective, that your wrist kind of went a little bit back.
No, I didn't even know he grabbed my hand. So, no, it's perfectly fine.
There you go. Mookie Betts.
He got the out. So, I mean, I think it didn't affect the outcome of the game. And
well, it looked like he said something to him.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, when he came down, whether he wants to tell the media that he didn't realize he grabbed his arm or not, he was pretty fired up and screaming at those dudes about the fact that they were all over him up there above the wall.
I love this so much. What great drama that was. I saw some people losing their minds on Twitter. What if he broke his wrist? They're grabbing his glove. He could have slid his hand off the wrist. What if he got hurt? People were going way too far with what was happening yesterday. 7869, if Mookie got hurt, would the fans be charged with anything criminal? Yeah, probably.
I would have to believe. I mean, I think the craziest thing of all of this is that the Yankees were going to give them, the Yankees were going to give them their seats for tonight.
I know.
And then Major League Baseball had to step in and basically say, no.
That's smart by the Yankees, though.
And almost, to me, it's like, I would say just giving them a refund. If the dude's season tickets on the open market, World Series tickets probably gives him way more if he sells them online than he does. Then he just a straight refund off the face value.
Yeah, you're kind of screwed him out of money there, although he might deserve it. Tyler and Conroe, Dodger fans forget that Mookie is a known cheater. He deserved what he got from the Yankee fans. I have a problem calling Mookie a cheater. I think he was just doing what everybody in baseball was doing. 6381, Betts is a class act. Hate the Dodgers, but he has class. Same as Freeman. I do like Freeman. I like Ohtani, too, even though he threw his translator under the bus for betting on sports. 3209, I mean, doesn't Major League Baseball want more fan interaction? It's a great point. This is a great way to bring fans closer to the game, give them a front row seat, get them a close-to-filled experience. For the fans yesterday.
Do you think that the Dodger fan the other night was looked at as somewhat of a hero when he made sure that it was a ground rule double instead of a home run in the outfield?
I don't know. I don't feel like anybody really talked about that.
Yeah, they really didn't, because at the end of the day, it was the Freeman Grand Slam that saved the day and won the game. But at the same time, the fact that you didn't let the ball get anywhere near the wall.
But it wouldn't have changed the result, though, right? Like, it was clearly going to be a ground rule. It was clearly going to be a double.
I thought it was clear enough, but he was outside, far enough away from the wall. But, yeah, you could see, though, he already knew he was going to get ejected. He was packing up his things and trying to bail before the security got there.
No doubt that yesterday was crazy. There's no doubt that play was crazy. I'm all for fans playing defense when the ball goes into the stands, though. So I kind of defend these guys. Now, you can't go across the wall. But I started to think, what are the craziest things that we've seen happen in a game? Or listen to them on the radio. You can catch all the World Series games here on ESPN 97.5. What are the craziest things that you've seen in a game? 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, where I'm going to judge with an iron fist. I'm going to rule with an iron fist on Twitch today. YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitter at ESPN975, Blankers at Pac-Man, Joel Bryan at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is the Bees on ESPN975 and ESPN925.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word from mybookie.ag. Look, you know that there's games on almost every night now with NBA basketball, college basketball getting ready to start, but of course with the World Series and college and pro football, you have got a ton of sports to watch all the time. Sometimes you don't really care that much about the teams that are playing, but maybe you want to make the game more interesting. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag and set up an account, and you can bet on the games, and you can make them more interesting and give yourself a bigger rooting interest whenever you want. And the good thing is, right now when you sign up at mybookie.ag, they're doing a double your first deposit to where up to $1,000, what you put in, they put in, and you see it in your account immediately. That means more money in your account, more games games you can bet on and more chances you can win because you play at mybookie.ag. Just remember our promo code, BET975. Using that promo code will open the door to getting you that double your first deposit. And if you are reloading your account, there's all kinds of rewards for you as well. And if you get friends to sign up, there are rewards for that too. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag. And when there's no games going on and you feel like playing some casino games, or maybe you just like and prefer casino games, there are live dealers standing by at all times so you can play blackjack, poker, and so much more. No flights to Vegas or drives to Louisiana. You got this right here at mybookie.ag. They are the ones that take care of you every step of the way. That's why I tell you that's where you need to go when you play. Go to mybookie.ag right now. Use our promo code BET975 and sign up and start and let the games begin. It's like I always tell you to do, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, with the only place I tell you to do it, mybookie.ag. Use our promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Mattress Firm Battleground 2K24 college basketball doubleheaders coming to Toyota Center Saturday, November 9th. Catch high-level college hoops featuring Rice versus Florida State at 6. And then a top 10 matchup, the main event featuring Houston and Auburn at 8:30. You can purchase your tickets now at toyotacenter.com, toyotacenter.com for the Mattress Firm Battleground 2K24 college basketball doubleheader. Going to give away a pair of tickets right now. First person to call Brian, 713-780-3776, and tell him who was the Cougar point guard last year that got injured against Duke. 713-780-3776. First person to call Brian, give him the correct answer. Pair of tickets heading your way for the Mattress Firm Battleground 2K24 doubleheader, and you can get your tickets now at toyotacenter.com. Craziest things that you've seen, 713-780-3776, because yesterday was crazy. Yesterday was crazy. 1209, Branham, no way you actually believe this incident was caused the Yankees to win. How could you not? They were trailing in the game 2-0 when it happened. They're trailing in the series 3-0. They were well on their way to a sweep. Do you believe in momentum in sports? Do you believe in old Uncle Mo? Because Mo was not on the side of the Yankees until this very moment. What did the Yankees do after that? A run in the second, a grand slam in the third, five spot in the eighth, on their way to an 11-4 victory. You know that Aaron Judge wasn't going to deliver the momentum swinging hit. You know it wasn't going to be Anthony Rizzo. No, the Yankees fed off of the fans who were a little savage yesterday to Mookie Betts' glove.
Well, they also fed off a bullpen game for the Dodgers and shaky pitching. And to your point,
what happened first?
To your point, at least, the fact is that that's the first time all series that the team that scored first did not win the ball game. So now we'll see if Gerrit Cole has anything to do anything about keeping the series going longer than it's ever been when a team starts out 3-0. But look, the Yankees have been a disappointment. You look at the team and all the way that they went about their business, and they were supposed to have the advantage in pitching, and they don't. And you know, and Aaron Judge has been a no-show. Stanton, thankfully, has been more than people thought he was going to be because he's always hurt. And yet here we are. So if they use it to their advantage, it's fantastic. But it's pretty sad when you've got the guys that make the money, that have the MVPs and all the accolades of an Aaron Judge and or Stanton and some of those guys and Soto. And you're hanging on by a thread trying to make this a series. But the fans did what they did.
It happened first.
It happened in the first inning, Jeremy. You're right.
It happened before the onslaught of runs for the New York Yankee lineup. So what's the craziest things that you've seen in a game? 713-780-3776. What jumps out to you?
I got a couple that I experienced in person, and the one that was as crazy as I've ever seen is when we had that bat in Compaq Center in the middle of the game.
Oh, yeah. Did Manu catch it?
Yeah, he killed it.
What a weirdo.
Yeah, so we were so it was like, and Mucci had the big fro that night. And the bat was somehow like following around Mucci in the fro, and it was during game action, and he was ducking, and the referees finally stopped the game, and the thing was just hovering around the court, and Ginobili just grabbed a towel and snapped it out of the air, and it just hit the floor, and everybody stopped for a second and looked at it, and then one of the janitorial guys just came in and scooped it up and ran it outside.
Do you think that bat was rabid because it was flying around during like day? It wasn't daytime, but it was well lit.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, believe me, it was a discussion because of the fact that I think Ginobili at one point touched it first.
Yeah.
that there was discussions about if he needed to be tested and or get shots. Because you know when you get rabies shots, they're in your stomach.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so there was a lot of guys that were like, yeah, I'd rather risk it. I'll tough it out. I don't think I got anything because they don't want the shots in the stomach.
That's brutal. I did not know that.
Yeah.
The one that always jumps out to me is the Malice in the Palace. Like, that was, oh my goodness, I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, I don't know that we ever will again either. But, you know, every time you go back and review that tape, you see something you didn't see the first time. And, you know, just from the guys trying to get off the floor, and I think Reggie Miller was in street clothes, and just getting hammered by beers, like full beers. And then the fact that our test is literally laying on the scorer's table, kind of relaxing until that beer comes down and drills him. And then you find out what Ron Artest is made out of, and you're like, oh, boy.
That's the one that I was so fascinated with that, too. Like, I watched all the coverage of that for hours. I watched, was it the 30 for 30? I can't remember who did the documentary, but I thought it was a 30 for 30. I was so obsessed with the Malice of the Palace. I've read everything about Malice of the Palace. I've seen everything to see about Malice in the Palace. That's one that jumps out to me. Junior Broncos, where that guy ran on the field and jumped the center field wall and got away. He's talking about it at Minute Maid when he ran up Taos Hill. Climbed, like, did a pull up onto like the little deck where like the gas pump's at,
okay.
And then ran out of Minute Maid Park. So like he was a streaker. I think he was clothed, but he ran onto the field before security could get him. He ran up Taos Hill, jumped up, did a pull up onto the gas pump, and then ran out like over to Crawford Street or whatever.
And they never got him.
Not in the ballpark.
Wow,
not in the ballpark. He was out like that.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was really well done. I do remember that. Virginia said, I once saw a minor league hockey player take off his skate and try to stab a guy. Okay.
You sure that wasn't Happy Gilmore?
Maybe it is.
I saw that happen in Happy Gilmore.
Maybe that's what he's referring to.
Maybe there's a joke there. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it just went over my head because it's hard to read context on text. King of Twitch said, I once saw a bull kill a bull rider. I doubt that you saw that. Now, I know it's happened. I know it's happened, but I doubt the King has actually seen it.
Some of the great ones are, I think it was the Rams that did it last, where you get the fan that is streaking or like trying to draw attention to a political statement on their t-shirt, and the players just flat out lay them out.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was last year, and the guy ran onto the field, and he had like a pink shirt with a message on it, but he had like a smoke bomb attached to him, and two linebackers for the Rams just came off the sideline and annihilated the kid.
Those are always my favorite.
And the security guards,
too. Sometimes, I've seen it a couple times in baseball where a security guard will just spear them. Yeah. Those are just the best, especially if you have Kevin Harlan on the call who makes all those moments a thousand times better.
The one that I will never forget is the fan in Portland that was given Vernon Maxwell.
Yeah.
And, you know, half of us were all into the stands, and the guy was vulgar and he crossed the line way too far. But, you know, the fact that a player was going into the stands trying to throw haymakers and rip the guy's head off was something that I never thought I would have experienced.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts. Virginia says Randy Johnson's pitch killing the bird. That was
amazing.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, poor bird. Don't want PETA calling us, but that was something that I've never seen
before.
The
bird just disappeared. Like, there wasn't even a body.
Yeah,
it was just a cloud of feathers.
I had a bird run into my window. I think it was yesterday morning, maybe Monday morning. Like, I saw it because, like, usually if I'm doing work on the couch, like, the sun is rising from the east, and the east is to my left eye, so it can kind of see, like, the change of direction or the change in sunlight. So I see, like, this, you know, this flash of shade kind of, like, move from, you know, front to back, and then I hear a big thud. And then I walk out there, and there's feathers all over the place. I didn't find the bird, though, so he must have survived.
Really?
The bird must have survived, yeah. I couldn't find the bird.
Bird's a dog. A couple times.
It is a dog, yeah. As it was trying to evade some dogs, I guess. Junior Broncos seeing the Texas fans peer pressure the refs to change the call by throwing water bottles onto the field.
That was fun.
That is a good point. I've never quite seen anything like that.
Yeah, imagine Brian thinking that was fun.
One that stood out to me, I don't know if you guys remember this because it's been more than a few years, probably like 10 years ago, but there was a big fight between it was during a college football game between Miami and Florida International, where just a massive fight broke out on the field. But what made it even better is for some reason the color analyst for Miami football started talking smack during the while calling the fight and kept shouting, "You don't bring that mess into the OB." Like he was very proud for some reason of Miami University, which should be obviously a high football program, deciding they were going to fight Florida International on the field.
That's pretty good. you don't bring that mess into the OB.
He just kept shouting it over and over again. It was hilarious.
Now, from my TV days, there were production reels that would, during game action, when the cameras would catch something not suitable for television, they'd keep a running reel of it.
Sure.
And two that came out of, ironically, both, I think, out of Sky Dome. One was the one where the hotel rooms didn't have one-way glass.
Seen that.
And the couple was going at it in the hotel room while the game was going on. And then the other one was there was a couple literally in the third deck while the game was going on. And they kind of look around like to see if anybody's looking. Like, yeah, there's no cameras, obviously, in a baseball stadium. And then she just flat out just mounts him during the game. And then like they get the video of it. And the minute they start realizing people are starting to – they bailed.
How do you remember this so vividly?
It's pretty good video.
3-2-4-3, Antonio Brown jump kicking someone mid kick return. I don't remember that.
Antonio Brown jump
like the
kicking?
Antonio. Yeah, that's what he said.
I remember Antonio Brown ripping off his jersey while the game was still going on and running off the field. That was pretty memorable. We've never seen that before.
That's the Antonio Brown thing that I remember. I don't remember him jump kicking someone mid kick return.
I don't either.
Yeah. I send some video of that one. I want to watch it. 0-0-5-3, Jose Ramirez knocking out Tim Anderson. That was pretty good.
That was
pretty good. Now, I've seen baseball players take swings at other guys before. I mean, you saw who was the Odor and Bautista Joey got into it.
Yeah, Joey Bats getting knocked out by Odor has to be one of the best punches in sports.
Yeah. If you get away of like the, combat sports.
Right.
If you go with just non-combat sports, it's one of the better ones. Although there were some good ones in like the late 80s basketball and prior, quite frankly.
Herman Washington.
Nolan and Robin Ventura.
That was a good one.
That's the famous picture with Nolan having the blood all over him.
Yeah, there's been some good ones. There's been some good ones. They just kind of faded away like 90s. I think is whenever the good fights stopped happening. 4106 says 3 rounds of 8 shots in your stomach for rabies.
Ooh.
That's a lot of shots in your stomach.
Yes, it is.
I never won rabies. 7117, Altuve taking his shoe off has to be up there. I have never seen a baseball player for a non-injury take off his shoe in the middle of a game, ever.
Yeah, that was different.
That was the weirdest. That was one of the weirdest things you've ever seen. Someone texting about the Taos Hill thing. KD stepping out of bounds with the refs looking away. Then that 3 by Harden. That's an interesting one. I've seen stuff like that, though. Like Finley did that with the Mavs when they were playing the Rockets that one time.
I do remember that. Yeah.
Like that's happened before. 6381, I was at the 18 fan interference game. That game didn't end until 1 a.m. due to all the pitching changes and that fiasco. Longest game I ever attended. Was that a flex there by 6-3-8? He didn't really add anything other than to say, hey, I was there and it was a long game. I think it was a flex.
Yeah, sounds like it.
That was flexish, right?
Yeah.
We can call it a flex. Yeah, I think that was a flex.
I think one of the good ones is the T-Mac 13 and 32 seconds.
Well, that was something that really hasn't been done before.
Yeah.
For sure.
That everybody, I remember we were getting beaten that game pretty badly and most of the stadium had left. And then people that had tickets were like, I was there, but did you stay?
Yeah. Rockets final broadcast being interrupted by the OJ chase. Yeah. I watched the T-Mac game on, I think it was TNT that night. Wasn't it Kevin Harlan?
I think it was a split broadcast. Yeah, I think it was both.
Yeah, I was watching the national broadcast.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I was at home. I remember where I was. 3-2-4-3, he jump kicked the Browns kicker. He sent a link, so I'm going to have to watch the link during the break. Because, I don't have any recollection of that.
But I can't. Yeah, that one I would think would stick out if
Oh, somebody sent it on Twitter. Yeah, okay. So they were playing. Oh, it was whenever he was with the Steelers.
Oh.
So this was before he actually went crazy. Huh. This was before he had the whole CT. Oh, he was the punt returner. He was the punt returner, throws it to the 40, cuts to his left, the 45-50, has some space. Oh, he was trying to leap over the kicker, and he just kind of like, he realized he wasn't going to clear him. Uh-huh. And he used the punter as like a hurdle, and he realized he wasn't going to clear the punter, and he just kind of stabs him right in his right shoulder plate. I do remember this now. For some reason, I was thinking he like came off the sideline and did it, but it was as a punt returner early in his career. Like, he just stomps him. Remember this? He curb stomps him right into the ground. I do vaguely remember this now.
Well, wasn't there one where the coach came off the sidelines and stopped?
Woody Hayes, wasn't it?
Woody Hayes punched the player.
But then more recently, there was a guy that...
Tomlin did it. Tomlin did it, but didn't stop the guy.
Yeah, he didn't stop the play, but he did step out onto the field.
Yeah.
That's the one I remember that was more recently.
See, why does Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season? Because he's a dog and he wants it. He's willing to do something that other coaches are not willing to do. He's willing to walk onto the field to try to prevent a touchdown from being scored on his team. It's kind of like the fans in New York yesterday. They were willing to do whatever it took, just like Mike Tomlin was willing to do whatever it takes. And Mike Tomlin has one of the better coaching resumes in recent history.
If I were to power rank the coaches I think would be most willing to fight an active player, Mike Tomlin might be at the top of the list.
Dan Campbell
would also be, he'd definitely be top five. D'Amico could, but I don't think he has that same angry energy.
I don't either.
But Mike Tomlin and Dan Campbell, ooh, I think, would definitely fight a player if they could get away with it.
This is one that I did think of earlier. 6856, the guy who parachuted into the boxing ring during the Evander Holyfield fight. Wasn't that against Riddick Bowe?
I don't remember.
I want to say it was Holyfield Bowe.
What happened?
He parachuted. It was like they were having it at an open roofed venue in Vegas, and the dude parachuted into the ring.
Wasn't part of the game operation?
I think
operations?
It was during the fight. I don't think... No, absolutely not. Oh. He had, like, political stuff. I don't even know. I don't think it was political stuff. He had stuff all over his body, like, written on his body. I don't even think it was before the fight. I think it was in the middle of the fight. I think it, like, stopped the fight for a brief period to clear the fight. Like, I think it was in the middle rounds, actually. Cushing headbutt to the Browns player when he was wearing a helmet. That was insane. Bobby Knight throwing a chair. That was really good.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
There was another Mike Tyson ear bite. I don't know if you guys have mentioned that, but that's something no one will ever forget.
That crossed my mind when he was talking about the boxing thing. It was like, I don't think we've ever seen a fight.
No, we've never seen someone else bite someone's ear, bite part of someone's ear off.
O'Brien screaming "F you too." That was pretty good. Fan hop the wall and attack Billy Spires.
I do remember that.
I wouldn't have thought of that unless you said that. Somebody on the Twitch also said that crackhead dad and his son whenever they attacked the Royals first base coach.
Yeah,
I just thought of another one.
Yep.
Monica Seles.
Oh, she got stabbed.
Yeah, she got stabbed.
Monica Seles
got stabbed.
Yeah,
in the back. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, hopefully that would never, ever happen again.
That's right.
Yeah, Monica Seles one might be the trump card, really. 7285, Khabib versus McGregor after fight. That was pretty nuts. But I've seen brawls after fights before. That happens quite a bit in boxing. Bloody Nolan was the Bo Jackson line drive, not the Ventura fight. I don't really remember the.
I remember
the image of Nolan Ryan.
But
Nolan Ryan was doing the whooping.
He was, yeah, but he still had blood on it. He got it in the lip.
I don't remember him having blood for Ventura.
I remember the bloody picture. I don't remember the actual line drive hitting Nolan Ryan, though. Like, I don't remember the play that led to the blood. I just remember the image of Nolan Ryan being bloody. It says Holyfield versus Lewis.
I've seen one of the images. I thought the most iconic image was Nolan Ryan having Ventura in a headlock, but still having blood on his face.
Oh, we got the picture up here in the studio. You could come take a look during the break, but I don't think he's got any blood on his face during the Ventura fight.
Yeah, I don't think he really took a hit.
Okay. I've seen the picture. I
think that was a 10-8 round for Nolan.
Yeah, maybe. I know one night in Utah, we were in Salt Lake, and it was close to the end of the game, and the coaches called Charles for some reason, and they couldn't find him, and he wasn't on the bench, and the security guys were going nuts, and one of the guys turned up and said, he's back there, and he was about 30 rows up with a really strong handshake on a guy's arm who had been ridiculing him, and the security had to get up there because he was ready to punch him.
Sheesh.
In a game.
Man. 7470, Tanya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan, Chris Van Umbel. That's a good call. I know it's basketball, but Ime Udoka definitely would fight someone as a coach. Yeah, he would. I actually don't have a problem with a professional head coach fighting a professional player. They're both adults. I don't have that issue. Like, it's weird when a college coach is talking trash to a college player, but if a professional coach in any sport is talking trash to a professional player, I really don't mind. They're both adults.
Well, remember, that was P.J. Carlissimo.
I don't know how much talking he was doing.
I'm saying, he yelled at Latrell Sprewell during practice, and then Sprewell put him in a stranglehold.
I remember the stranglehold. I just don't know how much of a fight P.J. put up. Like, I wouldn't call that a fight. I think that's the point I'm trying to make.
P.J.'s was probably yelling at him, and he didn't want to take it.
Ooh, Myles Garrett hitting Mason Rudolph with his helmet. That was horrific.
Did you see what happened? Was it last weekend or the weekend before where someone's helmet flew off and Myles Garrett picked it up? And it was, I think it was against the Steelers. And one of the Steelers guys ran away and was like, no, and pulled the helmet away from him right away. And Myles Garrett was like, hey, man, I wasn't going to do it.
That's pretty funny. 6856 says it was Holyfield versus Riddick, not Lewis. So we have some fighting for the Twitchers. I thought it was Holyfield versus Riddick Bowe, but I don't remember. I'll look it up during the break. All right, 713-780-ESPN. I love how D'Amico's handling the injured guys this week. I'll tell you what I mean next. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All right, guys, a quick minute for Underdog Fantasy before we get to the break. And I took a tough loss last night. Not quite as brutal as some Yankee fan ripping the ball out of Mookie's glove, but I was right on 3 of the 4 higher or lower picks in my pick'em entry. Just missed on Luis Gil's strikeout total. Rough way to go. Never trust the Yankee. That's the lesson here, and that's on me. But the good news is with Underdog Fantasy, the losses never linger. Every day is a new day and a new chance to win big money, real money with Underdog Fantasy. And it's not just baseball. Have fun playing fantasy sports with the NBA, NFL, college football, soccer, MMA, NHL, and much more. No matter your game, Underdog Fantasy has you covered. And the best way to play on Underdog Fantasy is with their pick'em games where you can win up to 1,000 times your money. just by choosing higher or lower on player stats like hits, strikeouts, total bases, and more. And don't forget while playing Pick'em that with Underdog's double flex option, you could even take two L's and still have your entry be a win or cash out a winning entry early just by tapping the Win Now button to cash out your entry whenever you want. And with that type of flexibility, why would you play anywhere else other than with Underdog Fantasy? So download the app right now, sign up with promo code BMAC, that's B-M-A-C, and deposit to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code BMAC, B-M-A-C. Must be 18 plus and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Conservative to play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5.
We're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
YouTube Keith brings up the LeGarrette blunt punch Boise State Oregon game that he was watching live. I remember watching that game live, too. It didn't click in my mind. That happened. So many things going on upstairs. That was a good one. Mm-hmm. I feel like you see some brawls after games, though. Houston and Hawaii had one in the Honolulu Bowl. Long time ago, that was pretty gnarly brawl. Buddy Ryan, Kevin Gilbride, a couple of people texting that.
Yeah,
it is not too often that you see a couple of coaches going at it.
Remember the Chaney Calipari in the media room?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, that was great. That was phenomenal. Yes. Drama.
That's a good call. That was so good.
Yeah, Cal was at the podium, and Chaney was in the background and just started yelling things at him, and then they just kept and Chaney wanted to rip his head off.
That was so good.
Yep.
That was whenever Cal was at UMass.
That's right.
I think it was a conference game. I think it was A-10. I think it was the A-10.
Yeah.
I think it was the A-10. Yep. Yeah, that was nuts. Steve Bartman, that's a good call. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. King of Twitch was saying that he was quoting the movie 8 Seconds. You ever watch that? I think it was the guy from Beverly Hills 90210.
Luke Perry, right?
Luke Perry, rest in peace.
He's passed away.
Yeah, he's no longer with us. Really? Passed away a few years ago. Yeah, remember the? Do you remember the bull that actually did like kill people though? Bodacious. Remember Bodacious the bull?
I do remember that story vaguely.
I want to say, and I could just be misremembering this because I was a young lad, but I want to say that Bodacious, whenever I was a young kid, so let's go like early mid-90s, I want to say that they would bring Bodacious to the Houston Rodeo, not to compete because he was retired because he killed people, but they would have him just like on display, like in the open area, like at the livestock show.
Wow.
I want to say that that was the case. If anybody remembers that, 713-780-3776. Because now I don't know if I'm just making that up or if I actually saw that.
So the bull killed multiple rodeo guys?
I don't really know the whole story, but I know he killed at least one.
Wow.
And I don't remember if it was a bull rider or a rodeo clown. I have to remember the story. And I could have maybe just dreamt this and made believe that it happened. Because I was young. I really don't remember. But I want to say that was true. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line. Angel in Dayton, what you got?
Hey guys, well, there's two things that I've seen, one on TV, one live. One, I don't know if you guys mentioned this already, was when Andre Johnston just completely beat up on Courtney Finnegan. Man, that was surprising, but it was awesome to see that. That was one. And then the second one was, I was actually at the game when the Texans, I think, played the Colts, and Gary Kubiak had like some kind of maybe like a heart attack.
Yeah, the medical emergency.
I just remember all the medical team coming there with them, and nobody knew what was going on. So that was something crazy that I saw live. So just wanted to share with that.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I remember that. Appreciate the call, AJ.
I want to say that was Sunday Night Football. And that was an NBC game, and like they had the production of like the overhead. They had the overhead, like I don't know if it was a blimp or whatever it was, but they had the ambulance pulling out of NRG, and like they were following it up to like the medical center, which wasn't a long drive, thank goodness. But yeah, that was an NBC game. I think that they started 0-4.
Was he supposed to do the radio interview, or had he was kind of heading?
No,
that
I think
way.
It happened just before that.
Yeah, and then he just started to. He kind of just.
I want to say
right?
I want to say there was still time left in the half.
Well, I don't think so.
I know it happened right at the end of the second quarter, yes, going into the locker, but I can't remember if there was still a little bit of time left or if it was all expired. I thought it was
at halftime.
Yeah, I do too.
I thought there might have been a few seconds left. Walking
to the locker room at halftime. And that, the other part of that game I always remember, obviously, is the Case Keenum, Andre Johnson. I think it was 3 touchdowns in the first half, and then they ended up blowing the game in the second half.
I want to say that was Keenum's first start. First NFL
start. It might
have
been.
They bent Schaub after all the pick sixes. I mean, was it Schaub?
Schaub would have been the regular starter, but Case Keenum, I think Case and Andre had 3 touchdown connections in the first half.
They caught everybody by surprise. It was right after the end of the second quarter.
That's what I thought. Well, and with that, when he mentioned the ambulance, the DeMar Hamlin thing was, I remember just being riveted to that, going, is he okay? I mean, they're basically acting and reacting like he's not going to make it. And just all the reports from everywhere that were coming out about him, and now to think that he's playing football again.
It's nuts. There's a lot of theories on that, conspiracies about that. Hamlin might be the biggest, like, something you don't see in football. Because, like, the Kubiak thing, obviously very scary. Dirker had something in the dugout, too. I remember exactly what it was. But, like, those games finished. Well, Kubiak's game finished. I think they stopped the Dirker game, actually. But they finished the Kubiak game. Like, how many football games have been completely stopped?
Right.
Not many. Like, I can't think of any football games that have been completely stopped whenever it was not weather-related.
I do remember an article recently about a game where they decided at that point in the game they could not continue. They would treat it like either a rain delay or they would finish it at a later date. And I want to say it was baseball as well.
They'll do it more often in baseball because you have more opportunities play. You know what I mean? So
where someone got, seriously hurt. But, yeah, that one was one to me where I was just like, oh, my God. I mean, to say that we've never seen anything like that before. And basically, I think most people thought he wasn't going to make it.
When Bain imploded the Steelers stadium.
Hines Ward was on that field. I can't believe he made it out alive.
7837, Kermit Washington, Rudy T. That was pretty nuts. I mean, obviously, I've read about it.
Yeah, I just read the
book.
Didn't
see it. Cody says they brought Bodacious out on the field a couple times for retirement in remembrance of the fallen soldiers. Lane Frost was the bull rider that was killed. I want to say they brought him to, like, the livestock show, though. And just had him like, this is the big bad Bodacious that is the greatest bull of all time. Like, it was kind of weird, actually.
The Joe Theismann play and then the J.J. Watt hit on Alex Smith with the similar result. That was against the Texans when Alex Smith had that lower leg injury.
Was that Watt?
Yeah, he was in on the play.
Yeah, it was Watt.
Yep.
I remember Trent Green was trapped. Travis Johnson was the one who got Trent Green.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, back in the day. So the Texans have announced a few players being out. Azeez Alshire out with the knee, although he was practicing yesterday. Jared Patterson concussion, you knew he was going to be out. Damian Pierce has a groin. The soft tissue injuries with Damian Pierce are starting to stack up. Had a hamstring, now he has a groin. And then Jimmy Ward was, like, practicing, but will not play Thursday against the Jets. I like what D'Amico's doing with this because there's two players specifically here. I think Azeez Alshire, if you're playing Sunday, maybe could have gone. I think he could be able to go tomorrow. Same thing with Jimmy Ward. I think he might be able to go tomorrow, probably could go on Sunday. But short week, that turf is so atrocious and so bad. Like, just go ahead and get them right. If it means missing one more game to get them right, one more game, and you buy them an extra 9-10 days, whatever it is, I think D'Amico's making the right call there.
I agree with you. I think that at a certain point, you've got to make a business decision for the betterment of the entire season. And because it is a short week and people already think the odds are stacked against you on the road, down two of your top receivers, that people aren't going to lose a whole lot of sleep if you end up losing this game. And if you win, obviously it would be a huge shot in the arm. But I just think that you got to be smart at this point in the season, knowing after you get done with the Jets, you've got the Lions and you've got a tougher portion of your schedule still to play, to where you need those guys because you need Alshire quarterback in the defense for sure.
Yeah, so I'm good with what he's doing there. I like what D'Amico's doing there. I give him compliments there. Jesse on YouTube says, wasn't Keenum's first start versus the Chiefs at Arrowhead? That is true. It was his first home start was the one where Kubiak had the mishap. But at Arrowhead the week prior was his first start, and then they played the Colts that following week. So good catch on that, Jesse. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Pick a receiver. Pick just one receiver you want in Houston. Also, Stephon Diggs, he's released a message since the news of him tearing his ACL. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I just went into a bullhole on Bodacious.
Still going to the bullpen. That's Saturdays.
And Lane Frost. So Lane Frost was not killed by Bodacious. Lane Frost was killed by a Brahma bull named Taking Care of Business in Cheyenne.
He sure did.
In 1989. Man. It's too soon.
When was it, 1989?
It's too soon.
I feel good.
You can't be making fun of deaths. And it also, he didn't. It wasn't during the actual ride. He completed a successful 85-point ride on Taking Care of Business. He dismounted, landed in the mud, and then the bull turned and knocked Frost over. Pressed his right horn on Frost's back. It doesn't really say.
Oof, boy.
He said that he rose to his feet, took a couple steps away for help, and then fell to the ground. Maybe it was just like the brunt force, maybe like internal bleeding and stuff.
I would think the horn could possibly be
dying on
the
arena floor from massive internal injury. So it wasn't a pierce. I think it was a blow, such a big blow that like shoved him.
Yeah, the bull put his full weight on you. I think that would be enough to do
it. So it was the brunt force of Taking Care of Business that killed him. And then,
Wasn't there a golf cart incident once where the coach got run over by a golf cart? A
couple people did. That was actually, I want to say that was Danny Amendola's dad, Willie Amendola. Okay. It happened at the state championship game at Jerry's World. And then it was
it was a high school game.
It was a high school state. It was like the state championship game. State championship game. The pylon hit the gas pedal on the cart. So that's like, instead of having the foot on the gas, it was the pylon was on the gas. Because there was a guy that was running around like picking up the pylons because the day was over. So he picked up the pylon, put it in the seat. It fell. And the pylon perfectly wedged to the gas pedal, and you had a runaway golf cart that was probably going 25, 30 miles per hour. It was like one of the bigger ones, too. It ran over. I think Willie Amendola is the one who actually jumped on top of it and put the brake on. Yeah. Danny Amendola's dad, Willie Amendola, who was up in, I want to say, Spring ISD forever. And then the other guy was a media member named Jerry. I'm blanking on his last name. Jerry Woodley. Okay. Jerry Woodley. I think he sued him, too, actually. I think he got a little bit of money for that. You're right. That was a crazy one.
Yeah, that was nuts. And then didn't you guys have, back in the day, wasn't there a receiver, a defensive back that ran through the back of the end zone?
Patrick Edwards hit
the golf cart. It was pretty traumatic.
I don't remember if it was a golf cart or if it was just something left by the band.
I think it was one of those bigger than a regular golf cart, like a flatbed, would it had like the steel side to it?
It might have been a medical cart.
Yeah.
It might have been a medical cart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they left it in a spot that it shouldn't have been left in. And then, he ran into it. Compound fracture. I mean, it snapped his leg in half. Still played in the NFL.
Did he?
Still played in the NFL. Huh. He had an amazing recovery. Like those compound fractures can actually be like not terrible to recover from.
It's a clean break.
Yeah. You can actually be like standing on it pretty quickly. But that was at Marshall.
Okay.
That was at Marshall.
I just remember that it was just a bizarre injury, and then it was, of course, the blame game of who left the cart and why was it
there.
Well,
they did sue him and were successful.
Huh.
Yeah, they were successful. And also, Bodacious did not kill anybody. That's shocking to me. He critically hurt two different bull riders and then was retired after that, and he's debated as one of the best bulls of all time. And this also, Wikipedia says that he was at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo in 1992. So,
as an actual
participant? I think I remembered it right. No.
Just to like show.
Yeah. They just brought him there to show, like, this is the great big bad Bodacious. So I did remember it correctly. I was 7 years old. How do I remember that?
Did you ever watch
Good recall.
I know.
Did you ever watch Cheap Seats on ESPN Classic?
Not really.
Well, the reason I ask is they would show some of the bull riding shows that ESPN used to show back in the day. And the reason I remember Bodacious is one of those episodes on Cheap Seats, but Bodacious was a big part of the show. So I didn't know if you'd watch that.
Oh,
that
was
triggering your memory.
Was that the one where they would do sometimes jumping from one like clip to another?
Yeah.
I do remember that.
It was done
vaguely.
Like Mystery Science 3000, but with two comedians making fun of the old stuff ESPN used to show.
I remember the show, but I'm saying, when did they use Bodacious? Was it jumping in between videos?
I don't remember exactly, but they did a couple episodes where what they were making fun of in that episode was the bull one of the bull riding shows that ESPN showed.
I remember a bull being used as like kind of a cut to jump between one segue to another, like one segment to another. But I might be misremembering that. Yeah, I remember the show. I just didn't watch it a whole lot. I thought it was not very good. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener light. Let's pick a receiver on the other side. I filibustered you with Bodacious and Bull Riders, all of that. 713-780-3776. Pick a receiver, and what did Stephon Diggs have to say now that he's hurt and maybe his time as a Texan is done? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.